Jesus said to the disciples, "You have heard it said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you'll be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you'll be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you'll be thrown into prison. Truly I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard it said that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated.
I'd like to invite the children to come. I'm so glad Pastor brought me here to preach on stewardship for that one. Thank you, Pastor.
That's okay, we're going to talk about other stuff. Because when you're the preacher, you get to talk about other stuff. Hey, everybody. How are you doing today? My name is Pastor Melissa. And I know I am not Chris, and I am not Pastor Ross. I look a little different, dying. But that's okay. Sometimes I come to worship with you. Sometimes I get to preach. And sometimes I sit in the back there with my son Adam and my husband Eric, because we're members of this church too. And he used to come up here, but he's a little old now for it. So I get to be here with you today, and I'm so excited. So I want to talk about one of my favorite things that we talked about at the beginning of the service, baptism. Who remembers their baptism? Yeah, I don't remember mine either. Anybody out there remember their baptism? Yeah. That's so great. That's so cool. Sometimes, a lot of us were baptized when we're little kids, right? But sometimes some of us are baptized when we're older, too. Well, since many of us were kids when we were baptized, I thought we would go through some of the promises that are made in baptism, promises that the whole congregation makes, promises that your parents make and your sponsors make, and promises that God makes. So, the first one is to live among God's faithful people. Who knows what that means, to live among God's faithful people? Yeah? What do you think he would say? That's okay, we can talk about it later. You can think about it for a while. Well, a part of living among God's faithful people is coming here to church, right? And to Word on Wednesday, and to come and be with all sorts of other people who want to learn and love and live and be in the presence of God. That's pretty cool. So, Who's coming to church today? That's actually all of us. We all made it. Fantastic. Okay, very good. To hear the word of God,
That's to listen to Scripture. Did we hear Scripture reading by Miss Kelly, and then we just read that? Yep, we heard Scripture. And who has a Bible here? Does anybody have a Bible? Or do you have one in your pew or at your in your house? And maybe you hear Bible stories? Well, we have that too. Trust me, you'll get it. And you'll get a new, if you don't have a Bible yet, you'll get one soon, pretty sure. To share in the Lord's Supper. I know that it's a special day for some people today. Is it a special day for some people to take part in the Lord's Supper today, to have First Communion? Is that today? That's so wonderful to come and be a part here at the table when we have bread and wine or grape juice. That's pretty great. To share in the Lord's Supper. Okay, I'll go faster. Clearly we're losing steam. Proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed. Who helps people? Who says I love you to friends and family and mom and dad? Do you also get help and people tell you that they love you? Yeah, that's one. All right, baptismal promise. Yay, we've done one. Yes. Okay, good. We're getting it. And then to serve all people following the example of Jesus. That's to help and love and serve others, maybe even some people we don't even know. All right, yes. And then to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. That is the really big one. To strive for justice and peace in all the earth. Those are all the promises that are made when you come over to the font. I'm going to strike fear and terror in the hearts of Pastor Ross and Chris and your parents and say, let's come over to the font for a minute. Yeah. When you were baptized, all those promises were made. And even more. And you know, a cross was made right here on your forehead with a little bit of water. And we won't touch the water right now because, again, strike fear and terror in the hearts of family. But can you make the cross? Do you know how to make a cross?
Yeah.
And side, right. So we said in your baptism, can you repeat after me? And this will be our prayer. We'll do it twice. We'll do the first time. Child of God, you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Yeah. Can you do that with me? Can you all do that with me? Whether you were baptized in this font or not this font, or you're thinking about baptism, or you're wondering about baptism, or you don't even know what baptism is, you are a child of God. So we say, child of God, you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Now I'm going to invite you to turn. Let's face the congregation. Let's bless them and say those words. Should we make the sign of the cross for them? Okay, ready? Child of God, you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Amen. Thanks, guys. You can go take your seats. Grace and peace to you, my sisters and brothers, from God our Father, Christ our brother, and the Holy Spirit who gives us life. Grace to you and peace. Amen. These past few weeks, you have been sharing stories with one another of how God's grace has been evident in your life and how this grace has shown through this congregation and has made a difference. It has been inspiring and humbling to me to read some of these testimonies, for they have served to draw me in and draw me closer to many of you. For I do not know for many of you what drew you to faith, to this congregation, and what keeps you here. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing the stories of how God's grace has worked in and through you here in this place. My family and I have only been members here for about 3 years, and I came here from another congregation where I served as pastor, and now I serve as your director for evangelical mission and assistant to Bishop Cusero in our synod office. So all those titles is why I got invited here actually to preach today. So I am not able to be with you as regularly on Sundays, but I
feel a part of this community and a part of this congregation. So today, I have the great privilege of sharing with you a part of my story of how God's grace has worked in and through me at St. Andrew, but instead of Pittsburgh, this part of my story actually takes place 16 years ago in Moscow, Russia. Now bear with me for a little bit. We were in the basement of a stolovaya, which is a community kitchen, where the Moscow Protestant Chaplaincy, or MPC, gathered during the week to provide meals, clothing, tutoring, Bible study, and a safe space to gather for all who were in need of shelter and warmth. I had just finished meeting with a Ghanaian diplomat and his family, along with the pastor and a young adult leader of MPC. We were turning again to make more tea when the wife of the diplomat said, "Your church is such a blessing to me and my family." We had been recording and documenting the hate crime that this family had experienced in Moscow. The rise in hate crimes had grown in Russia during the early 2000s, and many of African, Indian, and other Southern Republic ethnicities were struggling to find security and safe passage in the city. As vicar and intern pastor in this interdenominational Protestant congregation, one part of our mission was to work with Amnesty International to document these crimes. But as a congregation, our main mission was to provide a safe space to gather, a safe place to worship on Sundays, a place to build community with those who came to Moscow for one reason or another, as students, foreign service workers, business people, tourists, or as asylum seekers. The Moscow Protestant Chaplaincy was a place of refuge and sanctuary for so many, and continues to be so today, not only for foreigners and expats, but for the Russian pensioners and those left at the margins of post-Soviet society. My year of global service with the ELCA was a wonderful, difficult, challenging, and life-giving experience of accompaniment and grace with our sisters and brothers from across the globe. And you made this possible. Yes, St. Andrew made this tangible example of God's grace for me and for so many who found sanctuary at MPC. Now, I imagine by now, some of you may be scratching your heads a bit, trying to remember if you knew Eric and I 16 years ago, and if you did give funds to our global ministry time in Russia, and maybe we did. Oh, should I remember that? The answer is actually no, not exactly. But also yes. In fact, you did make this ministry of compassion and accompaniment possible across the globe. So let me connect the dots for you. When you contribute financially to the mission and ministry that happens here at St. Andrew, a portion of that gift goes to mission support. The mission support is given to the Southwestern Pennsylvania Synod to support the ministry that happens across our city and our region. Ministries like Lutheran Advocacy in Pennsylvania, Christian Associates, ecumenical and interfaith work, support for congregations in transition or crisis, and the guidance for seminarians in training. Then half of that mission support then is passed on to our national church, the ELCA, which uses it to support the ministry of the wider church, including the mission work of our global partners. Your gift to this congregation and your mission support to the Synod and the ELCA provided life-giving care to your Ghanaian brothers and sisters that day, almost 16 years ago. And it continues to do so today. Your generous response to God's grace blesses people all over the world, most of whom you will never know. And yet sometimes people like me will find ourselves, through serendipitous grace, welcomed into a community of faith in a new place, like my family has been here at St. Andrew. Thank you. Thank you for your faithful generosity, for it is indeed an act of faith to be generous with another, and in particular with another who you may never know. As Christians, we seek to practice good stewardship in order to take care of this world that we share. For we know we have been entrusted with such great and wonderful gifts from God. The gifts of our wealth, our talents, our skills, our community, our congregation, our church, our family, our very lives. And we steward these gifts. And God's grace shows us that we are so very, very intricately connected to each other. Grace reminds us that when we come together in community, our lives are transformed. And this lived story of God's grace is what draws us to St. Andrew. It is what draws you here to share your resources and your time. It is what makes a difference in the world and in the lives of others. God's grace changes lives. God's grace is shared here, which is why you steward the gifts you've been given by God to the congregation at St. Andrew. And you will, in a few moments, make a commitment to this for the next year. You commit to growing the community of faith that is here. You commit to sharing the grace of God freely and abundantly. You entrust your leaders, your council, in their skill to administer this gift well. You entrust Chris to direct the teaching and discipling of your children and your youth into lives of faith. You entrust Pastor Ross to disciple you into deeper faith, to lead in challenging times and to provide pastoral care for people, people you may never even know. For that is his call, to love God's people, to inspire and encourage. And you entrust one another as you live out your baptismal call in your own lives, in the lives of the world. You trust each other to share the news of God's grace throughout the world. And then your trust circle expands. Your sisters and brothers across this city, this region, this country, you trust them to work with you for justice and peace in all the world. For God's grace changes lives in sanctuaries and in fellowship halls, in 150-year-old church basements and in Russian community kitchens, at hospital bedsides and in wedding feasts, at gravesides and in baptismal fonts. God's grace changes lives, and the generous way that you respond to this grace shares God's love and grace further than we could ever do so on our own. My sisters and brothers, it is a privilege and an honor to stand at this pulpit and be with you today as a preacher, as a fellow sister in Christ, as a person walking along the way to seek justice and hope and love and goodness in this world. And it continues to be an honor to walk with you in this grace-filled world. And as we turn in our worship time to a ritual now of dedication and commitment, I continue to pray that God will bless us, bless the ministry of this congregation, the ministry of yourselves, your time, the ministry that is you here in this place. Bless you to be a blessing to the world and the ministry